Cebu is a proud co-sponsor of Susan Griffin, Sustainability in the Soul, Thursday, April 9th, 7 p.m. in the Sanctuary. Susan Griffin is an internationally celebrated writer who will speak on the false divisions our culture makes between body and soul, masculine and feminine, self and other, that allow us to hide from our own knowledge. Again, that's Susan Griffin, Sustainability in the Soul, Thursday, April 9th, 7 p.m. in the Sanctuary, 1211 Southwest Main Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Cascadia. Today is Monday, April 6th, 2015, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. We had a cancellation today. Barry Rosenberg was due to join us again, and we are unfortunately, he is not well at the moment. He is, of course, the guest who brought to our attention the A to Z logging plan, which essentially hands over the so-called management of forests. I mean, all forests. I mean, all land with trees on it is being handed over to logging companies. It's called A to Z, and they really mean it. For once, no euphemisms, no green timber practices. This is just A to Z, another way of saying clear cut. In fact, it is an even more egregious way of stating it, in that they seem to feel they have a right, that they are entitled to all the trees on our public land. Alas, the public is more interested in staring into the screens of their electronic devices than getting out in the wilderness and seeing what's at stake. It's not real to them. They can just reboot. They can just look at a different picture if the one that's on the screen at the moment is too grim and too unbearable to stare at any longer. Getting out and seeing what we have left and understanding in clear and precise terms what it's going to take to save the little that we do in fact have left. It is our responsibility. It is criminal not to be working flat out to preserve these lands. Two girls, they were young ladies now, they were in school when they started, they are taking their views on the subject to court, and they are going to hold legislators responsible for their total, utter, and absolute failure to provide adequate stewardship of our natural environment that sustains us. They're little school children to start. Now they're in college, and they're still pounding away at it. Well, are we going to have our children literally die fighting this fight because we won't? Okay. Last time, and I've got I have a comment regarding the comments on the North Fork Mill Creek A to Z project. Say it again. Comments on the North Fork Mill Creek A to Z project. We're going to fill in the blanks in just a moment. Note, however, that if you want to comment, and anyone who, I must say, I feel nothing but contempt for people who won't. It's N as in Nancy, F as in Forest, M as in Mary, C as in Columbia, and then that flat lower line thing, it looks like a dash, but it's node below the letters. The public at fishsciences.net. Once again, N as in Nancy, F as in forest, M as in Mary, C as in Columbia, and then a lowercase line, public, at fishsciences.net. End of story. That's it. We'll give that out again. We're going to put it loud and clear on the KBOO website. Well, anybody can find it, and everyone should write a comment and explaining that we may live here in Portland, but don't think we aren't watching. First up, just a few headlines. Mentioned in the previous show, California's drought should have Oregon's worried. Too many people using the last drops of a dwindling resource means a mass exodus is inevitable. Oregon has reached and passed its carrying capacity. Right now, the 25% cut in water consumption in California ordered by Governor Jerry Brown does call into question what life in California will be like in the years ahead. Be more concerned about what life in Oregon's going to look like in the years ahead. Because if you have a massive population who's utterly, again, failed to take care of water, the thing that you need more than anything else except for air in life, they've utterly and completely failed to maintain adequate water supplies, that used it like there was no tomorrow. Watered lawns in an arid, dry place that we knew years and years ago couldn't sustain that many people. Taking like half an hour's showers, tossing water all over the place. These are the people that are coming to Oregon. Once the California economy utterly and totally collapses, and you can call it whatever you want, climate change, anything you like, but it's coming, and people are going. They will leave. They will go somewhere. This was from this article in the New York Times. It says they're going to go somewhere that's wetter. Guess where? That's Oregon. We'll have a massive number of people flooding into, no pun intended, flooding into the state. I sound like one of these old, visit Oregon and then leave. That business is long gone. Right now, we can't afford to pay for other people's mistakes. And you can phrase that any way you want. I'm sure there are much prettier ways to say it. But the fact remains, too many people are putting too much stress on the resources that we have and not doing a very good job of maintaining a view of the future that is, in fact, to use the word, sustainable. It just is not. We are not able to sustain this for very much longer. That's what the message from California should be. None of the rest of it matters, really. What matters is that you're doing a very bad job of understanding what our future looks like, because we simply don't understand what we're doing right now. These days in California, the economy is thriving. And the population, guess what? Wait for it. Population is growing. The state budget is in surplus and development is exploding in California. From Silicon Valley to San Diego, it's seen there's construction cranes across the skyline of LA and San Francisco. Even California's biggest advocates are wondering what the drought is, what the impact of the drought is going to be. We're not accustomed to, I suppose, as a species, of thinking what the world is going to look like in years to come. That's why you have people who are pressured by the economies of the Western world and abject poverty, peculiar, difficult education options. And absolutely, the idea of a job is ludicrous in many, many nations across the Middle East. You have a lot of very young people who desperately need something to do. And I guess it looks like they found it, haven't they? We have Al-Shabaab, we have ISIS, we have the list goes on. You can use up the entire alphabet many times over with the acronyms for these groups. And the answer to the problem is very clear, is stop abusing their nations and their resources in the name of Western progress, and provide the financial support to sustain economies that do in fact provide jobs. If you have a vast population that continues to increase, and the drumbeat in the West is, oh, we'll feed the world, we're able to feed the world. Oh, that's just lovely. Then what do you do with the waste? Then how do you house people? Then how do you provide people with an education? Then how do you keep cities and communities healthy and thriving? You can't do it. It's not possible. And we're learning that right now. We have a vision right now of the future of the world where resources are not strategically cared for. And as that said, the Trans-Pacific Partnership is so bad, how bad is it, that even Congress is shocked. More worrying details have come out about the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Many of us here, of course, knew about them long ago. Thank you, WikiLeaks. The U.S.-led regional trade pact between 12 nations. It's 12 nations. The New York Times came out with, members of the U.S. Congress have been viewing the secretive document and are disgusted by its contents. Congress has been reviewing the agreement in secure reading rooms, as we know. But this is the first disclosure to the public since an early version leaked in 2012. Here's what it says, in part: savvy, deep-pocketed foreign conglomerates could challenge a broad range of laws we pass at every level of government. Gee, almost sounds like the A to C timber project. Critics say that the tax definition of an investment is so broad that it could open enormous avenues of legal challenge. The article is, of course, referring to the Trans-Pacific Partnership's investor-state dispute settlement. According to the earlier leaked draft, which we talked about extensively and interviewed guests, it would give authority to major corporations to challenge laws made by governments in the national interest in international courts of arbitration. And more came out recently. The documents are extremely long, and the fact that it actually appeared in anywhere at all, and that the report echoes what has been said and left for years ever since this thing emerged, that in itself is telling. Barrett Brown, a journalist in prison, communicates to us that after many months of harassment intended to silence him, an hour after he sent a message to a journalist concerning possible Bureau of Prison misconduct under circumstances that were not discernible to other staff, and following a warning, he's been shut down for a year. We thought there was possibility last week of this gag order being lifted, but no. And hasn't anyone read something about the great game? One would hope that legislators serving on the Senate and or House Foreign Relations showboat would at least have to take a test or something in order to demonstrate they know a little bit about the world. Nonetheless, reaching an interim nuclear deal with Iran would have been difficult enough, even without hardliners in both Iran and the United States seeking to undermine them. Critics of the draft treaty deny it, of course, but right now, jury's out, wait and see. Throughout the 19th century, Great Britain, obsessed by the fear that other European powers would take advantage of the political decay in Islamic Asia. At first it was France, then it was Russia. This is exactly a replay of what is known as the Great Game. Alas, alas, our leadership has not apparently taken a glance at history. They're too busy still staring at their screens and imagining that the forests are still going to be okay. So let's go back. I want to return to our original point of departure, and that being, of course, the A to Z project. What I just want to underline very clearly is that the environmental assessment for the A to Z, they call it an experiment, avoids discussing the elephant in the room. In a precedent-setting move, the Forest Service granted the company Vagen Brothers, it's a for-profit timber corporation, has been given broad and sweeping powers that include designing the A to Z project in the first place, doing the environmental analysis, writing, this is a private for-profit timber corporation, gets to write the environmental assessment, deciding where, how, and how much to log, where and how many roads need to be constructed, and just about everything else associated with a timber sale. That's it. On that note, this has been Air Cascadia for Monday, April 6, 2015. Kate Welch engineered the show for us today. Thanks, Kate. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand, and be sure to send in comments.
At the Erez crossing, which is where you enter Gaza from. So apparently, when you go into Gaza, you have to walk until you get to the first town there. And apparently that walk is very dangerous.
KBOO is a proud co-sponsor of Indigenous Rights, Palestine, and Academic Freedom. Thursday, April 9th at 6:30 p.m. at Portland State University's Smith Center, room 338. Guest speaker will be Stephen Saleta, former Virginia Tech professor.